Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to WikiShuffle, the podcast that was reviewed this week by one podcast listener as a bit like QI but not as good.
Hey!
That's nice, isn't it?
Who said that?
Just some guy. I can't remember his name.
A bit like QI but not as good.
A little bit like it, not as good.
Yeah, well, what, are we honestly expecting that anyone's going to review it like QI only better? That's never going to happen.
Anyway, like QI, I am joined this week by my Stephen Fryer-like host, Phil Sharman.
Hello!
He's posh, he's pompous, and he appears to be a lot smarter than he is because he gets to read off of an autocue. Playing the role of Alan Davies,
Yeah. He's
a lovable dope, and he loves punching tramps. It's Chris Wallace.
Hello.
And I guess I'm David Mitchell. Not much to look at, but very handsome, charming, and hilarious.
Not much to look at yet, handsome.
I don't know why I said handsome. Oh, fuck it, I'm handsome.
You are handsome. You go
I am.
With that.
Thanks.
Believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself.
And I'd say technically you are quite a lot to look at.
Oh, it's like being back at school.
You bring it on yourself by being so mean all the time.
Anyway, we're going to click the random article button on Wikipedia because the Wikipedia site, wikipedia.org, has a random article button. And if you press it, a random article pops up and we're going to press that and we're going to talk about whatever comes up. Does that sound good?
Yep. Sounds great.
But first, we've got to talk about this music situation because I don't want to wait till the end of the podcast to
you
get this off my
wait.
Chest.
Okay.
So, Phil, do you want to...
I'm the best. The best taste?
No, I think it's that we
is
need...
That what it is?
We No. I mean, obviously it isn't. You obviously don't have the best taste. You have the most...
I clearly do.
You have the most popular taste.
Yeah, the best.
But that doesn't mean best.
No, it sort of does.
I mean, it doesn't, though, does it?
How's that so?
Because Mumford & Sons are popular. You two are popular. Doesn't mean they're good.
You're just sour. Because your little, little playlist...
No, I just wanted to... I mean, I beat Phil, obviously, because Phil's was awful.
Shall we provide some context into what the hell we're talking about here? Because I think some people might not understand. A couple of weeks ago, we said that we were going to put together a WikiShuffle playlist, and then we decided that we weren't going to do that, and instead we put together three WikiShuffle playlists, each of us choosing 10 bangers.
No, it wasn't bangers.
We said bangers a lot.
We did, but I didn't create mine thinking bangers.
Well, then you didn't listen to the brief.
Yeah, but neither of you have bangers.
Yeah,
mine all of mine are bangers.
No, Chris, I love the Cocteau
Borderline.
Twins. I know, Borderline is a banger, but you've got Cocteau Twins in there, not a banger. I love Cocteau Twins, but it's not a banger.
I'll tell you my method, right, for my winning playlist. Start off strong, Sussudio, strong start, into Borderline. Then it gets like little mixes there. And maybe it gets a bit more serious side of pop. A bit more sort of, oh.
Are they bangers?
Shut up, I'm explaining my playlist. Oh, interesting pop, I like it. Cocteau Twins, still poppy, but more serious. And then Perks right up at the end, like a little tick. Tick for win. And I end on the Saturdays. Ego, brilliant. It's an amazing playlist and deserves the win.
But I followed Phil's lead. Look, because we created these playlists in 5 minutes.
Oh, shut up. You put so much more time into it than 5 minutes.
No, it was 5 minutes. I've got the WhatsApp conversations to prove
the
it. If you want evidence, I can provide evidence. But we did it in a rushed way, as we do most things on this podcast.
And mine was deleted.
I looked at Phil's. Yours was deleted. Yeah.
And I had to put it together again.
I know, it's terrible. But Phil, yours aren't bangers.
No, they are. There's just, we have different definitions of what it is to bang.
Yeah, and yours is really twee and sickly and...
Yeah, and that's
fine.
What I find banging.
Okay, all right.
That's how I bang.
That's fine, but I would like a recount. Not a recount, I just want to do my playlist
again.
I want to do a bangers playlist.
You want to do it?
Because I've got Loreen Euphoria in there, and that's probably my only banger.
That's like the worst one on your whole playlist.
It's the best, probably the best song of all time.
You know what? You can, fine, do it. But it's not. I'm not going to do one, and Phil, you shouldn't do one either, because... You can do this for fun to prove that you're not bleh.
What's that?
Bleh. That's what your playlist was.
Was it?
Yeah.
No, it's some good music. It's just not bangers.
Just no Saturdays, is it?
So we've had a Twitter poll up throughout the week. And at the time of recording, more than half the votes have gone to Chris.
And by the time this comes out, the vote will be over and I'll have won.
Chris is just a populist scumbag.
You can't just because
you're having a popularity contest, then being populist is kind of what you need to do.
It was supposed to be a who has the best music taste contest, not a popularity contest.
And well, how are the two different? If you're asking the general populace, I mean, our listeners in particular, they're not the brightest bunch.
Oh, they're idiot. Pafster, yeah. Idiot. Alex Sumter, idiot.
Fool. Yeah.
Worst listeners ever. Just leave us alone.
I stand by the quality of my list. And to be fair, there's only like one vote between you and I, Jack, and we have been tussling for second place all week.
Yeah.
And we might have to concede that mollycoddling of the popular vote has worked for him.
Okay, but I'm going to
do another playlist.
I'm going to do a playlist of 10 bangers.
Just to prove yourself.
I'm not trying to prove myself. I just want, if we're doing bangers, I'm going to do a playlist of bangers. Okay, and then I'll feel happy then.
Okay, well, that's fine.
Don't talk to me in that tone of voice. I didn't do bangers. There's no way on earth.
I know.
There's no way on earth that I thought Stina Nordenstam was a banger. All right? There's just not.
You do your own little bangers.
I didn't realise we were doing bangers.
Okay.
Fuck you.
I did bangers. Mine banged all over. Just bang after bang after bang.
Quietly.
Quiet, subdued.
Weeping in the corner.
Contemplative banging.
Weeping in a chalet at Butlins.
Yep.
Like the little indie princess that you are.
And proud.
Should we do a podcast?
Yeah. Let's do a podcast.
Hooray.
Intracortical encephalogram signal analysis. Not got anything witty just off the bat on that one.
Most of those words I don't understand.
No, it's the signal analysis of intracortical encephalograms.
You love
That's all I know at this point.
Intracortical encephalogram. I've got it right the first time, and now I'm struggling. Intracortical encephalogram signal analysis, brackets mind ice, which makes it sound cool.
It does.
Is the learning and subsequent prediction of electrical activity inside the grey matter of the brain produced by the firing of neurons within the brain.
The learning and subsequent... I think this is one of those ones that's going to take me... I'm going to have to read every sentence you read and then read it again.
Read it again, yeah.
And dissect it that way.
So it's the prediction of electrical activity inside the grey matter of the brain produced by the firing of neurons within the brain.
What's going on in your thought house?
What's going on in your thought house?
Up your exactly. Noggin.
Got you.
The device was made by... Oh, it's a device. Okay.
Yeah.
The device was made by clinical researchers and medical doctors at Columbia University, University of Colorado, and the University of Colorado at Colorado Springs. Intracortical encephalogram signal analysis has two components. One, an intracortical EEG multi-contact electrode, brackets ICE.
Ice, that's in the thing, mind ice, mind in brain, right?
Take your time and internalise some of these processes. It'll all be okay. So component number one is an intracortical EEG multi-contact electrode, ice, that is inserted through a patient's skull and deep into the grey matter of the patient.
Like a brain needle.
It seems like a brain needle.
Why are you laughing at me? This is what it is. Brain needles.
And number two, an artificial intelligent agent that is trained in neurological signal analysis.
Oh, Chris's face went then. He was 2 seconds ago, he was boasting about how he's got it, but then his face turned.
Yeah, so that's the confusion. Element two, an artificial intelligent agent, so like a computer spy that's trained in it. That's in the needle.
So I think it's very strangely worded that. I think they're talking about a computer that just reads the signal and does stuff with it.
A robot.
But let's find out. It could be that it's a human interpreter because
it's
still
got the needle.
There's a surprise with things like when you have a CAT scan and things like that, the amount of interpretation of that data that is still done just by a doctor having a look at it and saying, yeah, it looks all right, is quite worrying. You'd expect that kind of thing. Oh, it's all done and it's computerised and consistent. But no, it's a doctor going, that looks all right.
Robot doctor.
Because a CAT scan is not a scan that's performed by a cat before you start.
I know that. We've covered it.
The ICE component comprises a catheter with platinum sensors that, when inserted into the brain, allows for recording directly from the cerebral cortex of patients with acute brain injury. The artificial intelligence and knowledge discovery of neurological signals component was first derived using intracortical electrodes in rats to predict epilepsy seizures in rats by 6 seconds.
Well, that doesn't give them much time to fix it.
Bit of time to move some furniture out the way.
Poor epileptic rats.
The problem with that is they probably weren't epileptic to begin with. The evil scientists have made them epileptic out of malice.
There's a lot going on here.
Is it, like, why... I think we're all moderately intelligent men. But this is just... I'm too stupid. And that kind of hurts. And it makes me sympathise with people that are maybe of a lower intelligence than even I am. Because this must be what, like, the EU referendum would mean to them. They must be looking at it and just not getting it. And just be, like, going, oh, immigrants, let's leave.
I feel like a commentator on the EU thing. Where I'm going, yeah, I know what's going on. And I'm keeping going with it, thinking I do. But there's a good chance that there isn't a secret agent going inside my brain. Even though that's what I'm reading from it.
But it's nice that you can acknowledge that you might be wrong.
Yeah.
So you've got that level of intelligence, but you don't have the level of intelligence to fully understand all of this.
I'm trying my best.
But it's good, you've got the self-awareness.
Yes, yeah. That's what half the battle. Thought is.
I didn't even need an agent for that. No. I just did that all on my own brain house.
Phil's quite a lot more intelligent than we are, and I kind of hate him for it.
These models...
No, you don't just go, you're supposed to say, that's not true, you guys
never
are intelligent.
Do that. He knows.
But no, he just goes,
I just call my brain house.
Well, I was being polite, including you, to be fair.
I am aware enough to know that if you exhibited evidence of being as intelligent as me, I would accept it. Is that what you're looking for?
Do you know what your IQ is?
A meaningless measure that determines nothing about your actual intelligence.
Okay, so it's a low.
No.
Go on.
I haven't measured it in years, but it was in the 150s when I last did.
150s?
It. Yeah. Well, it's the thing that I'm really good at. Mathematical puzzles, I can do those in my sleep.
150s?
But I can't do platformers. We've established this. I can't get past the first level on Mario. So, you know, and I'm not sure I should be allowed to drive on the roads. So it swings and roundabouts, isn't it?
Can't be good at everything.
Yeah. And as for ball sports, forget about it.
I've only ever tried, like, IQ chest. I've tried it a couple of times. Mm. And it's not that I can't do it. It's just I get bored halfway through.
That's part of the challenge. Yeah.
What does that mean?
It's like saying I would have been a gold medal sprinter, but I couldn't really be bothered.
Yeah.
That isn't enough.
But then maybe the potential is there. I could have a really good IQ. I just don't know because I haven't bothered to finish the test.
Yeah. Well, it's been great having Joey Essex on as a guest.
And you see, I didn't get that reference. I laughed anyway.
You laughed because
I'm socially aware.
Yeah.
But
150 odd.
What's the average? Isn't the average like 70 or 80?
No, the average is 100.
I don't know what the numbers are. I know what numbers are. It's not those ones. Oh, I'm not doing myself any favours today.
Should we get back to whatever's going on in the thinky box?
In the old think box.
These models used in the clinical environs of noisy domains, spectral analysis, knowledge discovery in databases, discrete finite automata and sequential and coincident power spectra are incorporated into the ICE component to read, learn and predict severe neurological disorders. I'll be honest, I'm out now.
Yeah, good, I'm glad.
Well, I got that a bit.
Noisy domains and spectral
analysis. Oh, you got that?
Yeah.
Would you like to explain finite automata to us? Discrete finite automata?
Well, I don't know that bit.
Right.
I get the gist.
Oh, okay. Spectral analysis in this context?
Ghosts.
Just ghosts and stuff, yeah.
Right.
And then when all that happens, you get like a little printout that says you've got epilepsy. Or you've got...
Ghosts.
Ghosts.
Yeah, I think you've got it. I see no evidence to suggest that you haven't.
The prediction... You've got ghosts. The Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan sequel starring Bruce Willis.
Why doesn't Tom Hanks make comedies anymore? I love Tom Hanks, and I love Tom Hanks in his serious roles, but I would like to see The Money Pit 2. I would like to see another balls-out Tom Hanks comedy.
Tom Hanks has always got... He does a lot of Saturday Night Lives, and he's really good at it. And he does that... What's that video he did for that singer? For that pop singer? Who's that pop singer?
This is your specialist subject here, Chris.
Oh, I've forgotten a name.
I know. It's What's Her Face from that song. Really, really, really.
Yeah. By...
It's a double-barreled name.
Hold on. This could come out with my wife.
Oh, this is...
Carly Rae Jepsen. That was a funny video. So he's still got his little comedy thing.
Achy Breaky Heart.
That's Billy Ray Cyrus.
No, carry on.
What about Tom Hanks? Toy Story.
You know what I mean. His 80s comedy turns.
Yeah, okay.
Where with the pratfalls and the nonsense. Because he's so good at it. He's better than anybody at that.
I know what we're doing here. We don't understand the article. So we're talking about Tom Hanks comedies from the 80s.
Which we all understand.
We all
very
understand
well.
It. We all know what's going on there.
Yeah.
But I think we need to finish this article.
Okay.
Because we're not a film podcast.
Though. No. We're not a intercortical and cerebral bicabam. That's a podcast.
Sounded like you were having a stroke.
Well, this thing can probably fix it. Or at least find out that I'm going to have it.
At least tell you about it 6 seconds in advance. The prediction, detection and interpretation of abnormal brain electrical activity is an area wherein technological advancement is necessary in that current state-of-the-art methods for electroencephalography are retrospective, prone to subjectivity and obviate real-time data interpretation that is often necessary to allow timely and accurate therapeutic intervention by neurologists and neurosurgeons.
Print it out. That's a long sentence.
Print it out. That's
Print
what it
out,
is.
Yeah.
Print it out. Doctor's going to look at it.
I think we've got it, yeah. It's just a brain test.
That's all we need to know about it.
Okay, cool. Thank you, Doctor.
Intracortical encephalogram signal analysis is done by neurosurgeon clinical researchers and those who create artificial intelligence system for computing signal analysis, Fourier transforms and knowledge discovery in databases. I hope we've taught you all something there, because that's the end of the article. Although I didn't really feel like I've reached a conclusion in my understanding.
There's a brain test... and it tests your brain for bad things.
Rats get epilepsy in 6 seconds.
Let's leave this one and move on. Hopefully it'll be another member of S Club 7 coming up next. I'm pretty confident that we may be about to return back to a pretty safe comfort zone for us.
Really?
Because now we're going to talk about Blue Peter Pets.
Yes.
Oh, I can handle that.
I can do that.
The Blue Peter Pets... are animals that regularly appear on the long-running BBC children's television series Blue Peter.
Can we explain for our international listeners what Blue Peter is?
I just thought the exact same thing. We don't do that anymore. We don't care
we
about
don't,
explaining.
Yeah,
we've forgotten about you.
We should do it for the British specific.
We
ones
use
that we
Wikipedia,
know about.
So I assume people who are listening to our podcast know what Wikipedia is. So they just look it up themselves.
Yeah, maybe we should just replace the format with just a list of titles of articles and then just get people to click on them.
Easier.
It would.
It would be easier.
Oh, God, it would.
We'd embarrass ourselves less often. So what is Blue Peter, Phil?
Blue Peter... is a children's television program that's been running since about 1950, a bloody long time, and it is...
It's a magazine program.
It's a magazine program, but I want to get across just how BBC it is.
Oh, it's so BBC.
It is, isn't it?
How strangely middle class in a world where that kind of middle classness doesn't really exist anymore. It's for white kids.
It is for white kids.
It's for white kids.
But they let non-white people present it sometimes.
Yeah.
Just, you know, let them in.
And I'm sure they wouldn't just state that as their official policy anymore. But certainly, in its early days, it was for white kids.
Yeah.
People on their way home from their grammar schools would watch that, while the riffraff wouldn't have TVs and they'd be outside playing in the streets with their whippets and ferrets,
I remember the show and I remember the presenters... but what happened? Someone made something out of, like, toilet rolls.
There'd be a craftsy section.
But what was the actual content?
There'd be a lot of, let's send Simon out to do hand gliding.
Yeah, lots of outside broadcasts. So it'd be studio-based, and they'd cut to some outside broadcast VT of them orienteering. Or
a lot of orienteering.
Looking at badgers. Or
Katie Hill on a yacht.
Is Katie Hill on a yacht? Yeah. That kind of thing. And then they'd do studio segments, which would be they'd have somebody in who can do that thing with the baton twirling. They'd have baton twirlers in. Thing. Maybe some Irish
dancers. Diablo.
Yeah, Diabloing. Maybe some traditional Irish dancers. And
they'd show you how, like, yoghurt gets made. Like on the VTs.
Yeah.
That wasn't a euphemism.
kids are so boring.
Blue Peter was... I never liked Blue Peter. It was always really...
Really? You're like the target audience.
But you'd have thought so, wouldn't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. Who are your yeah. presenters? Just oh, God, we're not going to go down the okay. age thing. I just I don't know. So.
Singleton. No, Sophie Ellis Bexter's mum.
Janet Ellis. I was a bit too young for Janet Ellis. I just about remember Janet Ellis presenting. But mine were John Leslie and...
Another mention for John Leslie.
Mark Curry, Yvette Fielding and...
Anthea Turner.
No, we were Anthea Turner.
Anthea Turner was a bit late for
I think we
me.
Were just a bit too... Anthea Turner was a bit early for us.
I think that was just when we picked it up.
We had Tim Vincent. Katie Hill.
Richard
Connie
Bacon.
Huck. And then we stopped when your man from the One Show came on.
Oh, Matt Baker.
He was like, we were just too old for it. So there you go. Now we know.
So we were a whole, generation of presenters apart.
Mm, yeah.
That says a lot. That's probably quite an important thing in a child's life.
None of us are like young enough to be skeletoners. Old Helen Skelton. No.
And a big part of Blue Peter was that they would have sort of studio pets. So they would teach children about how to look after pets, and they'd just be there sort of mulling around in the studio.
Shitting.
There was a horse, wasn't it? A horse shat on the Blue Peter.
An elephant.
Studio floor.
There was an elephant that famously...
Well, what is it they say about animals and kids? And the Blue Peter just combines the two.
What is it they say about animals
don't
and
work
kids?
With animals and kids.
Never have sex with.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was don't fuck them.
That's one of the new BBC rules.
That one wasn't introduced at the time that Blue Peter started, you're correct.
They have to have that written up now. They've got all the rules in laminate in the canteen.
The Blue Peter pets are animals that regularly appear on the long-running BBC children's television series Blue Peter. For 27 years, when not on TV, these pets were often looked after by Blue Peter's long-standing pet keeper, Edith Menezes, who died in 1994. Now they're just allowed to roam wild.
All over the BBC.
No, in Edith Menezes' house, they're slowly eating her face.
Oh, no.
Edith was a lovely woman.
The first pet was a dog named Petra in 1962.
Cool name for a dog.
And since then, there have been several dogs, cats, tortoises, parrots and horses, Joe and Simon. The current animals on the show are cats named Socks and Cookie, Shelley the tortoise, Iggy the trainee guide dog puppy, and the rarely seen Blue Peter riding for the disabled horse, Jet.
They used to just give them standard names, like Joe and Simon, and now they're called, like, gladiator names, like Jet and Iggy and Socks.
Socks is in the gladiator. Imagine Socks doing the hoop one.
It's not even funny.
I don't know why. Socks.
Why are we all in this mood today?
I don't know. Let's get through it.
I just had to spit my Coke out into a cup.
Rags was another pony named by viewers who was purchased by the proceeds of a Christmas appeal in the late 1970s as a riding for the disabled horse. The Blue Peter parrot, Joey, and one successor, Barney, featured in the 1960s, but when Barney, a blue-fronted Amazon, died, he was not replaced. In the 1986 documentary shown on BBC Two as part of the Did You See series, former presenter Peter Purvis recalled that Biddy Baxter, the show's editor, had called him in floods of tears the day the first parrot, Joey, had died. He went on to muse in the same interview that had he himself died, Baxter would have been far less upset.
Parrots.
The original idea behind featuring the programme's pets was to teach viewers who had animals of their own how to look after them, and for the creatures to act as surrogate pets for those that did not own any. For example, dog training items, tortoise hibernation and cat care are often featured on the programme. However, the keeping of rabbits and mice was deemed not suitable as these often died. It says a lot about 1960s Britain that tortoise ownership was enough of a thing that it needed a national television programme on how to do it.
Don't you just like put them in the box and then leave them?
Just leave them in the garage.
Pretty much. Now, our age difference is going to come up again now.
Okay.
Because I'm pretty sure you don't remember an age where there were lots of tortoises around.
No.
And a lot of people used to just have tortoises just roaming free in their gardens.
What?
You don't even believe this, do you?
No.
Just in the back, what?
Just
what
in their gardens. They just leave them out there and that was their pet tortoise would just be in their garden and
like
it would
fenced?
Just live there. Yeah, it would be fenced.
Okay.
What about cats?
They've got a shell.
This was a thing.
What about
and
foxes?
It was definitely the tail end of this happening that I remember, but I can definitely remember a few people having them. And in my sort of mum's generation, yeah, everybody had a tortoise in the garden. And every bonfire night, they'd
kill
come
them.
No, every bonfire night, because it was at the beginning of November, there'd be national warnings, particularly on Blue Peter, saying, check your bonfire before you light it to make sure no tortoises have got in.
Well, we get that now, but for hedgehogs.
Yeah, but we used to be for tortoises, which are not an indigenous thing.
No, I'm going to get one.
No, you're not. And what would you do with it?
Just leave it in the garden.
You don't have the time, patience for
a tortoise. Sort of if I have the time and patience for any animal, it's a tortoise.
What would you call it?
Jeff.
Jeff. Jeff that lives in your garden.
Yeah.
What would you feed it? What does a tortoise eat?
Just let it fend for itself. It'll fend for itself.
I'm not sure that in good conscience I can allow this to happen.
But it was all right in the 60s.
No, it wasn't. That's kind of the point I'm making.
No, okay. I want a tortoise. Can you buy me one?
No.
You've got a turtle.
Oh, yeah, I've got a turtle.
No, but they're different things. They're different things. Whatever. Don't get too excited. That's a turtle. We're talking about tortoises.
Did I read you my turtle fact?
I don't think we did.
I don't think you did.
Turtles?
We didn't say read it to us, please. We just said
well,
you didn't.
It's a fact. This is an intellectual, informative podcast. Turtles were around more than 65 million years ago and lived alongside dinosaurs, because they are a bit dinosaur-y. Some prehistoric turtles reached gigantic sizes, like as big as a car. Doesn't say that, I'm just guessing.
That's good. This is a fact, laced with speculation.
As big as a car. It didn't say anywhere that they're a bit dinosaur-y, did it?
The largest weighed more than 2,000 kilograms. That's as big as a car.
It does not say that, does it?
Look at my turtle. Tag.
Look at my turtle. 5 metres.
It's bigger than a car.
It's bigger than, like, way bigger than a car.
Yeah.
But this is a long time ago, and they were, like you say, they were a bit dinosaur-y. So it makes sense.
Petra was a female mongrel that appeared on Blue Peter between 1962 and 1977. Petra was the first Blue Peter pet and remains one of the best known. To date, brackets May 2011, so if anyone feels like updating this, then please go ahead. It's 5 years out of date now. Petra is the longest serving Blue Peter pet. She was weighed on one of the episodes and found to weigh about 2 stone. Good work. She had several puppies, including Patch, who also became a Blue Peter pet, and who predeceased her.
No.
Aww.
What does that mean?
Died before her.
Oh.
Petra lost her teeth at an early age, but this was not necessarily a bad thing. Blue Peter presenter Peter Purvis once said that she was often bad-tempered and would gum you to death if she had the chance.
Bloody hell. Ooh.
This doesn't sound like a very good instruction on how to look after a dog.
It's a horrible way to go out.
It can't be fun for a dog, being in hot studio lights.
No, with no teeth.
Prodded at by children and Peter Purvis. It was later revealed that... Oh, yeah, I've heard about this. This is a good story. It was later revealed that the original unnamed puppy had died of distemper a few days after her first appearance on Blue Peter.
Does that mean it was just, like, angry?
No, distemper's a dog disease. And so they got this puppy on as Petra.
Yeah.
The puppy appeared. A couple of days later, it died. They decided not to tell the audience of Blue Peter that this happened and just replaced it with another dog.
Protect the kids. A lot of parents have probably done that.
Yeah, that's such a parent move. I'd have just said, kids, dogs die.
And just waved the dead puppy corpse at them.
On national television.
Get your smell-o-vision cards out now, kids.
And then they could do a nice segment on taxidermy.
Just keep them all in the studio. And as the show goes on over generations, there's all these stuffed pet dogs and cats.
And you can tell what era they're from by the clothes they've dressed them up in.
Yeah. Helen Skelton's clambering over a couple of tabbies.
Instead of informing viewers and feeling that there was no need to upset children needlessly, that's a tautology, no need to upset children needlessly, the programme's director and producer Edward Barnes and Biddy Baxter bought a similar-looking replacement puppy, which was subsequently named Petra by the viewers.
I couldn't get away with that now. It would be exposed straight away on YouTube.
That's one of the downsides of high definition. Shep, from 1971 to 1987.
Is this
Border
your
Collie.
One?
I remember Shep, yeah. Is widely considered to be the most famous Blue Peter pet. Shep was bought by the BBC to replace Patch. one of Petra's puppies, born in 1965. He became the main Blue Peter dog when Petra died in 1977. Shep is remembered by viewers as being inseparable from Blue Peter presenter John Noakes. Shep was excitable and Noakes would often have to restrain him. Noakes' common refrain, "Get down, Shep," became a catchphrase. Shep died on 17th of January 1987.
I feel like that's a recurring theme.
What, that they die?
They die.
The mortality of animals,
this is what happens.
Bonnie was a female golden retriever dog who appeared on Blue Peter in the late 1980s and 90s. She was the daughter of Goldie and succeeded her mother as the Blue Peter dog. Bonnie appeared in 1,150 editions of the programme alongside 16 different presenters until she retired in 1999 to live with Leonie Pocock, her off-screen owner. Bonnie died at the age of 15 in 2001.
That was our age, wasn't it?
Bonnie's our one. And Mabel. Oh, Mabel's next.
Mabel was a blue merle border collie and was Blue Peter's second longest serving dog after Petra, being on the show for more than 14 years. Mabel was rescued by the RSPCA, who found her in southeast London in 1996. She was about 6 months old when she joined Blue Peter. Her name was derived from the label on her RSPCA kennel, MAB1. Mabel was noticeable for having heterochromia eyes, one blue and one brown. Are you not going to make the Bowie connection?
I wasn't going to, because you've upset me about David Bowie today. Suggesting that The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust isn't a good album.
Well, it's not, is it?
That's just stupid.
I was going to say something about this.
It's not even in my top five Bowie albums, but it's still easily in the top 50 albums of all time, isn't it, really?
I was going to say something about this last night when I saw this conversation happening over the Twitters, and I thought, I don't fit in on this podcast. I just don't fit in.
Why?
Because I don't care about any of that.
Okay.
I'd say I don't care.
You're just trying to upset me. That's what you're doing. You're just a mean man and you're trying to upset me.
It just never was for me.
Okay.
Well, and Stuart Lee's on my side. That's what we were talking about. Stuart Lee has done a bit for the Ram Album Club this week, which is a great little website. You should definitely go and check that out.
Brilliant.
And it's basically they get a celebrity on every... I use the word celebrity loosely in the hope that one day they'll invite us. You think that's going to happen?
No.
And they play an album that somebody's never listened to, what is regarded as a classic album. And this week, Stuart Lee listened to Ziggy Stardust and didn't like it. And I don't like it.
Stuart Lee doesn't like anything.
I don't like anything.
Good. The Perry can fuck off. I take that back. I love Stuart Lee.
Ouch.
At least Stuart Lee said, look, I don't like Ziggy Stardust, but here's a 500-word essay about why I don't like it. You've done nothing of the sort. You've just said, no, don't like it.
I will deliver up a 500-word essay on why I don't like it.
Thank you. That's all I ask.
It will be just the words pomp and ceremony repeated. Oh. As Mabel's exact date of birth is unknown, her birthday was celebrated on 3rd of February, the same day as former Blue Peter dog Bonnie. On 10th of March 2010, it was announced that Mabel would be retiring from the show after 14 years. Lucy, from February 1998 to April 2011, was a Blue Peter pet for 12 years, a pedigree golden retriever. She famously once wandered into Paul O'Grady's dressing room and was scared off by his dog.
Paul O'Grady's dog is a little pipsqueak.
Meg was a border collie who belonged to presenter Matt Baker. Whilst not considered an official Blue Peter pet, as she lived with Baker's family in County Durham and was trained as a sheepdog, she frequently appeared on the show alongside Baker during his tenure as a Blue Peter presenter. Her highlights whilst on the show included demonstrating her sheepdog skills and giving birth to a litter of puppies. That would have been gross. Mm. Watching her eat Baker. The placenta. Well, Matt Baker, yeah. Watching Matt Baker's face.
He didn't eat the placenta.
I wouldn't have imagined.
You know what?
So.
I don't know. Maybe it was a country for a bit. You don't know what Matt Baker gets up to. Matt Baker, he's just a weird man.
Is he?
I think so.
Placenta eating weird. Puppy placenta eating weird.
I'd eat a placenta, but not a puppy plus placenta. Placenta and chips. Fry it up.
Are you thinking of polenta?
No, because I'm fussy.
The programme has had a long association with guide dogs, which stretches back to 1964, captivating millions of viewers and helping to transform the lives of thousands of visually impaired people. The first Blue Peter guide dog puppy was Honey, whose training was chartered by Valerie Singleton on the programme in 1964. Since then, there has been Cindy, who was puppy walked by Peter Purvis in 1968, Buttons, who was featured in the mid-1970s, Prince, a son of Goldie, whose training was followed by Peter Duncan, and most recently, a second pup called Honey, named in honour of her predecessor, who was trained by presenter John Leslie during 1991. Jason was the first Blue Peter cat. He was a Seal Point Siamese who joined after appearing on an episode with his mother, brother and sister at just 3 weeks old, and was named by a viewer who had been inspired by the TV series Jason and the Argonauts. Willow, Carrie and Oak, Smudge. One of the shortest serving Blue Peter pets, Smudge was named as a kitten by the viewers of one of the most popular kittens on the show.
Can I just... Carrie and Oak. Think about it, mate.
Karaoke?
There you go.
Oh, it's Carrie and Oakie. I get it now. Maggie and Jim, we're in the tortoises section now, were brother and sister who made their first appearance in 1974 and joined the show on a regular basis in 1979 after the death of Frieda. They were named after Margaret Thatcher and James Callaghan, both prime ministers of that year. The two did not survive winter of January 1982. Ha!
There we have it, episode
59
of Wiki Shuffle.
Wiki Shuffle.
Chris, you've brought in, as you do, show and tell with Chris to end every podcast.
It's a bit of a segment, isn't it?
So you get to bring in your toys.
I'm bringing my toys.
What toy have you brought in this
week? Well, do you remember at Halloween, we talked about the Friday the 13th video game?
I do remember that, yes, because it happened.
And I was there. And you were there for. And there was a toy we mentioned that came out. And I bought that toy at the time, and it arrived like a week ago. So it's past Halloween, but it is the coolest thing I've ever seen. It's cool, isn't it?
Is the box worn or is that a design?
It's there's design.
They've designed it to make it look worn.
Yeah, distressed.
But it says on the front, open flap to play. That's not even funny. Immature child. I'm trying to talk about my toy. Open flap to play authentic theme music. This might not work. Sometimes it doesn't work. Eh? It's good, isn't it? And he's got his little purple... Oh, shut up. He's got his little purple suit on.
Can I have a look?
Have a look. You're not going to throw it in the bin because I really like it.
Yeah, because it cost you like... I mean, what this is, Chris, is it's an action figure.
Yeah.
That you're keeping in a box.
Because open it again. That's cool.
And it's got a little detachable head. And it is... I just don't... Why?
I don't know.
Why would you want it?
It came up on the podcast and I was probably drunk or something. It's good, isn't it? Hours of fun. Well, not hours.
You think a remix?
Yeah, man.
What are your thoughts?
My thought is mainly that you're a massive gimp. That's it. You're just a massive gimp.
I bought
but
it.
Fair play.
It's about the podcast. So I'm not going to play with it. I don't really know what I'm going to do with it, to be honest.
Can I have a look?
Yeah.
See, because my first observation was that it bears the CE mark.
Of course.
But the CE mark that it features isn't quite compliant.
No, I was going to say that. It's a different font.
It's been squished a little bit, so yeah. It's not bearing the true CE mark, so might end up killing you.
Christmas will be fun with you.
This is not CE compliant. Put it back. Santa's taking it back, children. That's your voice, by the way, Phil.
Thanks. So you can take the man away from his regulatory affairs positions, but you can't take the regulatory affairs positions away
from
the man.
Honestly,
from
like the distance we're at, the first thing you noticed about a box that plays music is the CE mark.
Yeah.
Jesus.
To be fair, if it's not a medical device, I'm not sure of the exact rules, but I'm pretty sure that the CE mark should still look right.
Best look it up.
Best had. I'll get to that. Anybody else got anything else they wanted to talk about today?
Just to re-listen to my Spotify playlist when it's packed full of bangers. And you're not going to like them, but at least they'll be bangers in my definition of the word bangers.
Yeah, and then listen to mine and give it a fair crack of the whip. Now, I accept that some of the songs on there you're not going to have heard before.
Ooh.
But...
I've heard of bands that you haven't heard of.
And also, listen to mine.
Stick them on your playlist. Let me find out about them. I'd like that.
Listen to mine, because it's obviously the best. And you will have heard some of the songs. And you can have a jolly good time.
Yeah. So if you want to be educated, listen to mine. If you want to enjoy yourself, listen to Chris's. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, and if you want to hear some good music, listen to mine.
Fine. I'll take that. That's fine.
Okay. Yeah, me too. I'm happy with my position as the cerebral one.
So we'll be back on Friday.
More Owen Hughes.
Or Saturday, depending on when you can be bothered editing it.
No, it wasn't that I couldn't be bothered. It's that I edited it and then I lost the whole pissing thing.
Likely story.
It really happened. My bloody laptop decided to upgrade to Windows 10 and then it just shut down spontaneously to do the upgrade, which took like an hour. And then when it came back, all the editing I'd done was lost, so I had to start again from scratch.
Okay.
Anybody listening here will know that, yeah, you can just about tolerate listening to one of these things once. You don't want to re-listen to it again. Nobody wants that.
Nobody.
I certainly didn't. Mm-hmm. Soul destroying.
Mm-hmm. We will be back next week. Friday. No, we'll be back Friday and then we'll be back next week and then we'll be back the week after that and so it goes on.
Until eventually you die like so many Blue Peter pets.
See you next week. See you Friday. Bye.
Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.